Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That just flew around the stadium the whole game. And like, I just remember telling my dad, I was like, because games are like 4.5 hours. I was like, is that thing not out of fuel?
Yeah. Well, I love that you got to experience that like with your family. Like that's in this era of college football, like those sentiments that you expressed are like they're fleeting, you know, they're fleeting because of how much it costs to get into the games and because how corporatized everything is becoming. And it, like, those are the moments that make us fans, that like connect us to college football, and they're harder to come by now, feels like, than they ever have been before. So, like, I love that Ole Miss and the Ole Miss people got to experience that. Like, that's cool.
I mean, it was loud. It was a party. And I mean, obviously, there was like the whole "we'll show Kiffin" element of it.
Of course, I'm sure that added to it. It had to.
But like, a part of this to me, it's like Kiffin's lasting legacy at Ole Miss to me is, he changed, like, that fan base gets to games early. Like, for all the jokes he made about the Citadel, like, the thing that I thought that was most insulting about that Citadel joke that he made after Florida was, that was one of the more impressive crowds I've ever seen for a freaking non-con game in the middle of November.
Yeah, bro, who scheduled the Citadel in November, right? Like, that.
I wonder who did that. Who amongst y'all did all that? So, no, it was just a super impressive day. I think the other big question before we get a break. So, last year we had, and granted, the tournament was seeded differently. And obviously, I think in hindsight, another big problem we had was the Ohio State of it all. Like, the best team being seeded eighth probably ended up being a big problem. But we saw four home teams that all won the games and they all covered. This year, we saw only one home team win and cover. We saw the two home teams that were playing the G6 teams win handedly. But do we think the other trend that we saw last year, which was the teams that had the long layoff and didn't play the first round, they all looked pretty rusty. Do we think that will hold true?
No, I think because we saw one trend dissolve already, so this one could as well. Part of last year, part of the reason that was, is because, I mean, Arizona State gets a bye. Like, what business did they have getting a bye, you know? And so because they seeded it properly this year, you have better teams that are coming in off the bye. So they're going to play better because they're better. They deserve to be seeded where they are. And they're not going to be playing against that juggernaut Ohio State, you know? So, no, I expect a much better showing from the teams ahead of. Like, I think Texas Tech.
What would Oregon have looked like if they just played literally anybody else?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to make of Oregon's performance because it was so unbelievably dominant the first half, and then all of a sudden they just.
Well, I mean, what was it? What was it they ran at one point? They had the close to. Still the gold standard for me is. Do you remember the Sugar Bowl when Hawaii got in and they played Georgia?
Yeah,
I believe in the first half, Georgia went, I think it was 10 plays, 5 touchdowns. So it was like every 2 plays they scored a touchdown. This was the closest in the first half that I felt to like somebody might actually touch that of a touchdown every 2 plays.
5 touchdown drives of 5 plays or less to start the game. That's what it was. A couple of those were 2 and 3 plays. I mean, it was just a metronome, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Bad, bad, bad day for the folks who enjoy seeing G5 representation.
I guess that was my other big take. I am fine with the one, but cap it.
Well, create circumstances that.
See, this is where I'm worried. In theory, I agree, put a ranking on it, but I also know how this is going to work.
We'll box them out. They'll see the team.
Correct.
And so
I'm totally fine with allowing one team in and giving the whole entire sport the quote-unquote opportunity to play for a spot.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they've already dictated that next year.
I think so too.
The top four will automatically get a spot in the Power Four champions all automatically get in. So the ACC champion will get in next year,
correct,
even if they aren't ranked.
Correct. That was part of the MOU. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's a team playing that has a coach that might be linked to Michigan. So I want to talk that Michigan job and a little bit more from the world of sports. I have to call a spade a spade. As much as I hate Philip Rivers, I cannot be anything but impressed with what he's actually doing. And I truly hate this man, like with every fiber of my being. Go coach another high school team that gets into a fight and start talking to me about all your core values and how great of a family man you are. I'll give him his due when we come back. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. This is that song that I'm like, is this song a psyop? Like, did Paul McCartney, like,
he set out to write the worst song ever
and have us like all like play it for the rest of our lives?
I mean, it's
this is one of my all-time, like, I hate this song.
You hate Christmas?
No,
I hate this Christmas song. In general though, I'm not the world's biggest Christmas music fan.
Neither am I, and I've also been using it for bingo the last however many weeks of December.
It's like this and the Feed the World song are the two that are just the most aggravating. Yeah, like the
Lennon and Yoko Ono.
The Lennon's Christmas song. I don't hate that much. It's the one where like all the blowhard artists came together to feed the world. There's 90 different artists with like a chorus and whatnot. All right, Cobb's got an idea. We're gonna hand out some Christmas presents. We'll do that during the next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Jeff Brom. All right, Cobb, so we've got the Michigan coaching search, and right now at the Bush's Baked Beans Boca Raton Bowl, which, hand up, no clue that Bush's was sponsoring this. When I think Bush's Baked Beans, I don't think Boca. I do think, like, the good-looking golden retriever, like the animated, like, talking dog.
Bush's is based in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Well, my guess would have been, like, I don't know why, St. Louis, Missouri.
Knoxville, Tennessee, baby.
There you go. Go Vols. Is that why Peyton does the ads?
There you go. Now the wheels are spinning.
That was always a rant. Like, not that Peyton's ever said no to a check, but that was always one that was like, you know, he's had some pretty big deals.
How bad would the brand have to be for Peyton to say no? Like, if Hardee's came to him, what do you think he would say? Yes.
Oh, 100%. I think with Peyton, it's just is the check big enough? Like, I think he's not willing to just take any amount of money. But I think Kevin Hart's the same way. I think if you meet Kevin Hart's appearance fee, like, for instance, if we wanted to have a 92.9 awards, and as long as we hit the actual fee, I think Kevin Hart would host it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it seems to me the standard for him is you got to send a plane, and as long as the check hits his number, like, Kevin Hart will do it.
There is no better business than being a retired NFL quarterback. I wonder how much Peyton Manning makes now compared to how much he made as a player. Like, I wonder if his endorsement and sponsorship salary, what he makes.
So has he had enough other ventures? Because what? I think his last deal, because that was the other thing about Peyton. When Brady was taking pay cuts to help the roster, Peyton wasn't taking pay cuts. Like, you were paying a premium to have Peyton Manning as your quarterback. So does he make enough in other ventures to make up for like $45 million a year?
He might be close.
So, of course, the quick Google from Google's first line, Peyton Manning's earned approximately $248 million in salary and bonuses during his NFL career.
So $248. What does it say his net worth is?
Let's see.
He has to be making $50 million a year, right?
He's on everything. He's on everything, yeah.
Well, I mean, that was on the Manning cast a couple of weeks ago. W was on, and he's like, it's good to see you on my TV, not in a commercial. It was,
I can actually interact with you. How
yeah,
about that?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good joke. I was like, not bad. I bet the answer's still no. Because I think the biggest problem for Peyton is, like, I think Peyton would love to own a team, but I think now with the insane franchise prices, like, I don't think he ever will.
Well, isn't he a part owner of the Grizzlies?
Yeah, that's through his wife, but, like, I don't think Peyton's ever going to be able to be rich enough to have a controlling interest of an NFL team. Because remember, the Titans first pitch, and then the league shut that down. Like, the Titans were going to give him a piece of the team. But then the league's like, we cannot be out.
But what if the Manning family pooled their resources and
it has
and
to come from one source?
The
one person has to stroke the check.
Oh, does it? Okay. Well, they could combine assets.
Well, and buddy, we haven't even started letting. They're now dipping their toe in. They're now allowing PE money, but we're one step away, my man, from allowing public investment funds in. Sovereign wealths.
I mean, the Saudis have invaded every other sport. Why not the NFL?
Does anyone in their heart of hearts believe that the Saudis didn't have something to do with that Lakers purchase price?
Oh, they got something to do with everything.
And again, this isn't even me. I don't really honestly care. Like, in the end, like, we're doing business with them anyway. Like, I don't necessarily care. But it's like the lengths that the NBA goes to try and make sure that nobody ever asks those questions makes me think, like, oh, yeah, it's totally there. I mean, yeah. They did have a Russian oligarch owning the Nets.
They really don't care.
At all. But
if you got the money, then hey.
I also think it's now, I think we are towing the fact that we're like, they view it as good because the price of the franchise is only going up, so owners make more money. Great. The problem is, because now these people are spending so much money on these teams, the first reaction is to jack up ticket prices, and now you've got the downstream effect where all these other owners that didn't pay $6 billion, well, they're now seeing the ticket revenue, and, like, everything's just getting jacked up. And so now you're at the point where it's like, how many people can, like, realistically afford season tickets?
Well, how long until the fans start pushing back? And
I don't know, but, like, the only answer we have is, like, don't go, and then it's like, fine, we'll move.
Yeah, that is a problem. But isn't there some buzz right now around NBA expansion again? Like, isn't that, like,
So Silver was asked about it. He basically said it's been tabled to 2026. Cuban's been pretty clear on it that when the TV deal came back and it was well over market value or their expectation, basically the owners were like, no, because we'd have to divide the pie up instead of 1/30th, 1/32nd. And then on top of that, in these expansion franchises, somebody's going to have to stroke like a $6 billion check for the expansion fee. And I mean, I don't know. I think we're at the point where relocation happens before expansion.
It's really
I'm rooting for all this gambling thing to be really bad. And I need Silver to go down with it because I do think, even though it's technically two different things, I don't think if the NBA is in the midst of a real scandal that they can afford the PR of moving a team.
Yeah. At what point do we just think about rethinking the entire ownership structure of professional sports? Instead of having billionaire owners of individual franchises, what if the leagues just
make them public trusts? I mean, it's why you can laugh. I do think the coolest thing in sports is actually the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Like, we can laugh at, like, kind of the absurdity of the I'm an owner and, like, that not really matter. But it is literally organized as a public trust. It cannot be moved. And every dollar that they make has to get invested back into either the stadium or the team.
What about the Chiefs moving to Kansas?
Well, but I mean, this all comes...
Grizzlies, like, putting up an arena in West Memphis. And, like, yeah, what? Like, what is going on?
Okay, but correct me if I'm wrong. This has always been confusing to me. Isn't the actual downtown, like the skyline, when we see...
Kansas City, Missouri.
See, I thought that was Kansas. I thought, like, where T-Mobile is. Missouri is where Arrowhead and... Is it still Kauffman? The artist formerly known as Kauffman. They're all in the same... Like, that's in Missouri. But I thought, like, where T-Mobile is, a.k.a. the Sprint Center, if you know, you know, I thought that was actually Kansas.
I mean, Kansas City, Missouri is like, okay, it's confusing because Kansas City is located in Missouri. So that doesn't make sense, right?
Well, it's located in both.
Is it the same city? Like, do they have the same mayor, same police?
Now you're asking a question I don't know. I don't know if it's technically two cities that share the same name or if it's one city that crosses state lines.
Surely, George, look it up. Surely they're not the same city.
I would think it's two different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, they're leaving their home and going across the river. I'm telling you, it's like, it'd be like if the Grizzlies said, all right, y'all won't renovate the Forum. We're going to put up a $1 billion arena in Crittenden County.
Honestly, if it would keep him here.
Yeah, the Marion, it's no longer the Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm officially, like, in all politics, everything in my life, I'm a one-issue voter. If you do anything that I view harms the Grizzlies staying in town, I'm officially done with you.
Yeah, but I mean, would you still want to go see a Marion Grizzlies game?
I could do it.
Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas are... technically the same metro area, like the same
city. SMSA.
Right. But they're distinct municipalities. They have separate governments. They have all of their own things, but they're essentially.
Do you have numbers?
Connected.
Which one's bigger?
Missouri by a long shot.
Well, I know all the money's in Kansas. Like Overland Park. Remember, like, I don't remember you, the first ever, like, big time youth sports, like, complex was going to Kansas City to play in, like, Overland Park. Like, I remember in, like, 1998, they had AstroTurf infields, and it was, like, the coolest thing ever. Which, in hindsight, is, like, the worst thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Kansas City, Missouri is bigger by...
Okay, where's the actual downtown skyline? Is that in Missouri or is that in Kansas?
Missouri.
I'm telling you, it's like the Grizzlies moving to West... Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, Kansas City, Kansas is about 150,000 people. Kansas City, Missouri is about 500.
This is like the New York teams that play in New Jersey. And it's like, no, you don't. You're not New York. You play in New Jersey. Like, it's just.
They literally play in a dump, though. Fun fact. That's MetLife is built on a dump.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's where the Mafia used to.
Oh, yeah.
Hide stuff. Yeah.
The ones I find that are even funnier with that whole thing are like the Knicks, the Nets, the Rangers, like all of their actual arenas are in New York. But all of their practice facilities and all of that stuff.
In Jersey, so that's where the land is.
Or Connecticut.
Yeah.
It's all just somewhere else.
Low-key, playing for the Knicks would be such a pain because you got to get all the way up the... Well, okay, so if you live near the practice facility, then you got to get down to Madison Square Garden, commute like an hour and a half. Or if you live in Manhattan, you got to commute an hour and a half to practice up in Westchester. I mean, there's worse problems than to be on the New York Knicks, but in the grand scheme of things, like, not ideal.
It's the same thing with the Rangers. A Rangers player was actually, like, team suspended for a game because he missed a meeting because there was, like, a wreck on the interstate.
So he's just done.
Yeah, pretty much, because it's, like, a 30-mile drive.
Well, yeah, like, sorry, I can't afford a chopper, bro.
But, like, you know, this is less offensive to me than the Bears. Our boy Kevin Warren can't actually close a deal, and now the Bears moving to Gary, Indiana.
Hey, that Gary, Indiana economy could really benefit.
I'm not, this is not even like
a whole lot of things.
It's not even a slight, like, at a certain point, and I understand some of these municipal governments are not exactly on the up and up. I totally understand all this. But can we also baseline it that what is literally forever been dubbed our second city, Chicago, do we really not, and it's, arguably the best, like, skyline we have, everything.
That's pizza.
Like, I'm still a New York guy on that. I'm still a New York guy on that. Like, I just think overall, Chicago pizza, maybe if you just take one bite of each, but the problem is you have one piece and you're just like, I don't think I can eat again, ever.
Well, that, well, yeah, it's not like CC's when you're growing up and you go to CC's after for your soccer party after the year and you get eight
chocolate
pieces.
Breadsticks.
They're little pieces, you know.
Yeah,
what
but
I'm saying?
Chocolate breadsticks. Oh my god. Yeah.
CC's was where it was at.
Every postseason in party was at CC's.
Of course.
But like I don't love the fact that Washington D.C., like where all of our cultural monuments, like the all of us as a country, like we don't have a stadium that overlooks it. Like, we're trying to fix it with the RFK site, but, like, do we really not want, like, in Chicago, do we really not want, like, a stadium? Like, we don't do it in New York. I you know what I mean? Like, I guess that's just the way it is.
Well, thankfully, cooler heads occasionally prevail in these scenarios. Like, the Wizards are going to stay in D.C. at the Capital One Arena. They're going to renovate it, I think. Because there was talk about moving the Wizards to...
He's trying to, and then that got, like, blackballed.
Yeah, but I mean, actually, now that I think about it, even in Memphis, we have a little bit of this silliness because the Memphis Hustle play in Mississippi, right? So, like, they're not the South Haven Hustle or the DeSoto County Hustle. I mean, for branding purposes, I get it. Like, you want to affiliate yourself with the major metropolitan market, but they don't play in Memphis.
All right, back to Jeff Brohm.
What? Yeah, how did we get over there?
I don't know, but I'm glad we did. George asked me this very simply. Are you buying Jeff Brohm in the Michigan smoke?
Yeah, I am. I think at this point, because if it weren't a coach who was still coaching, there would already be a verdict. I mean, Sherrone Moore was fired 2 weeks ago almost. And that is plenty of time when you're the only job on the market to go out and get your guy, especially when you're a job of that caliber. So if it's not someone who's still coaching, then who's it going to be? And the likelihood of it being Kalen DeBoer or Kurt Cignetti seems slim. There's a lot of smoke around Brohm. Yeah, I do buy it.
I think I do too. I think you also have to buy it at this point because even though Brohm is an alumnus of Louisville and really it goes deeper, like his family's deeply tied with the city, how many times is he really going to get to say no to Michigan?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Louisville's a top 35 job. Michigan's a top 5 job. I mean, there's just
and
such
like
a
you
big...
can talk yourself into like with Dillingham. It's like on top of A, he is where he grew up. Like his family, both his parents and his in-laws are like in the same neighborhood now. Like, but also if you're Kenny Dillingham and you're 35 years old, if your career goes the way you think, you're gonna have other opportunities. Mm-hmm. With Brohm, how many other opportunities to have the Michigan or a Michigan caliber job is he going to have?
Well, it would be interesting if he's finally the one who jumps because there have been so many coaches who have been pursued, but who have stayed where they are this cycle because they're at their alma mater. I mean, Clark Lee is another example at Vanderbilt, Kenny Dillingham. You mentioned, there's been a handful, but I mean, Brent Key.
Yeah.
At Georgia Tech, another example. So if Jeff Brohm's the one who leaves, it is a bit of a shocker because he's so deeply entrenched there. He went to high school there, played quarterback there. When he takes that job, 3 years ago, you think, okay, well, they're set for the next 20 years. And now all of a sudden, they might not be, but I don't blame him for leaving if he does go, because look at what Louisville is invested in right now. You want to talk about going all in on basketball? They are. I mean, they are all in.
And I think this is a legitimate question because I think Arkansas ran into this problem. They can tell you that they're committed to both, but all the money's coming from the same places. Like, I don't think Arkansas is going to ever hire a quality football coach while John's still there. I'm not saying they can't get a good, like, Ryan may work out there. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about, like, attracting the big name. And I think if you're Brohm, you have to ask yourself reasonably, how long can this school afford to win in both?
Yeah, and Michigan's different. They are all in on basketball. Like, Dusty May's doing a heck of a job there. Yaxel Lindenberg ain't playing for free, but they're one of those rare schools that can afford to bankroll both at the very highest level. So I think that's got to be attractive, because if you're Jeff Brohm, you're like, all right, I'm top half of the ACC. I've got enough to probably come in behind Florida State, Clemson, in the NIL, Miami. You're probably behind Miami too. So you're probably, what, fifth or sixth in that league in terms of roster spinning? Well, you go to Michigan, you're right there with Ohio State. You're right there with Penn State.
I think the only job you can say that's better than it's Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, you're
right
there.
I think there's an argument in the country that's true too.
So, I mean, yeah, it'd be hard to say no. It'd be hard to say no, especially because it's not like he's been just burning the world down at Louisville. Like, he's done fine. Like, he's like 27-8 or something along those lines.
Got him to the championship game in that one of the worst championship games I've ever watched, the Florida State. Yeah. That one, God, that was awful. Yeah, I think he's done a good job there. Like, I don't think he's blown it out of the water. I'm also learning right this second, Keegan-Michael Key is apparently a Bush spokesperson.
No way.
He's doing like that sideline, you know. Clearly, Peyton's contract did not include this.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of a shame. I mean, it is just a trip down to Boca.
Does the winner of the Bush's Baked Bean Boca Raton Bowl, do they get Bush's Baked Beans dumped on them? Because if not, then what are we doing?
I'm going to say no, but I hope I'm wrong. Does that make sense?
Pop-Tarts has really upped the ante for everybody. And if you're not going all out...
Do you buy the theory the other reason Notre Dame said no is they were going to make them put sprinkles on the helmet?
Which, by the way,
I saw this yesterday. Maybe I missed this. Has Utah State always done the cow patches on their helmets as an alternate helmet?
I don't think so.
That looked new to me yesterday.
Hey, we got to do what we got to do to make bowl season interesting. And if we got to dump some baked beans on folks, then I'm all for it.
I think the other thing that's interesting is, okay, because we both buy it. If he says no, I'm of the opinion, and you might disagree, if he says no, I think you just have to suck it up and accept that this is not going to maybe be a forever partnership, whatever. But I still think Kyle Whittingham's a good football coach.
Well, I
don't think it would collapse under him.
Well, why did he retire?
I think he retired because, like, in the end, the coach in waiting thing never works. Like, because the coach in waiting is always going to want to coach and eventually start to get factions and eventually the older guy gets pushed out.
If you're going to go for the near 70-year-old retread, why not just hire Brian Kelly?
I think Whittingham's a little bit more willing to. I don't think Whittingham's, because, like, they were good again this year. I don't think he's so opposed to the system as he got caught with really bad quarterback luck. Like, they spent 3 years thinking Cam Rising was going to be healthy, and he wasn't. And then when you're playing, you know, Bucky Barnes and Zach Wilson's little brother, like, it was tough. But, like, this year they kind of got quarterback figured out, and they were, what, 10-2?
Yeah, I just don't know. Because, for one thing, you leave Utah. All right, most of that staff is going to stay with Scally. So are you going to hire? So you're going to leave your successor at the place you were at for 20 years and then go poach his whole staff to go to Michigan?
Like, I bet Michigan's going to pay more.
Seems like a crappy thing to do. If you're going to go with some old temporary stopgap hire, either hire Brian Kelly, who might actually still have something in the tank, or just do the 1 year with Biff Pogge, man. Just bite the bullet. You're Michigan. You've got a high enough floor, even with him, to where you're going to beat up on the bottom of the barrel Big Ten teams. You're going to go 8-4, 7-5. And then your first in line.
Is Biff going to be any worse than Shrome was?
Well, no. I mean, probably not. Because the thing about the Big Ten is, okay, Michigan would be below Ohio State, Oregon, probably even Penn State next year, probably USC. But, like, they probably only have to play one or two of those teams. It's an 18-team mega conference, and they're gonna have.
They went 9-3 this year, and we have no idea if they were any good.
Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention Indiana in that category. So there's like five or six good teams in the Big Ten. They can sleepwalk and zombie their way to being better than every other team outside of those five or six. High floor, you know. He knows it's for 1 year. Yeah, it's probably hard to go hard in the portal, but you still have money. You can still go get a bunch of old guys who just want to play 1 year.
My only issue with doing Biff is when you have the long-term interim, I think with Biff, you need to be able to have good coordinators.
Yeah,
and it's really hard when you got the coach that everyone knows has an expiration date. It's really hard to get the coordinators.
Yeah, right. He's not like a play caller or a – yeah, right. So, I mean, there's downsides to it, but at this point, if it's not Brohm, or if he – I mean, he could do – Brohm could do what every other alma mater coach has done this cycle and just use it for leverage to extract the resources that he wants from the job that he's at now.
Haven't these guys already done that?
Brohm – I mean, Brohm probably – I don't know. Like, I mean, was Brohm a serious candidate to a point where he had leverage?
I think Ole Miss more than kicked the tires.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's also a universe where there will be people that will tell you Pete Golding was predetermined and they drug it out to the fashion to kind of like, it allowed for them the easiest sell to go to where they wanted to go. I don't know if that's true, but there are people that will tell you that's true.
Yeah, well, Ole Miss is a job that you use for leverage. Michigan's a job that you actually take. You know, big difference. So I can see it. Like, I think there could be something to it. The other non-playoff coach who's still coaching who would be absolutely hilarious, and I have nothing to back this up. This is just me wishing and hoping and praying because it would just be unbelievable. But, I mean, Dabo, man.
It would be interesting because I do think Dabo's not necessarily – I think Dabo's talking points are different than – I don't really think he's as long as you pay him the number, I don't think he really particularly cares about how much the players get. I also thought that was a convenient talking point because I think he knew if it just became an arms race of who has more money, Clemson was not going to win that arms race. Like, Clemson's another program that I think was built for the under-the-table era. Mm-hmm. But if you got him at a place like Michigan where other people do that and he's not the one that has to do it.
Well, and think about it, man. His shtick would do so well up there. They need a cultural reset. What is Dabo Swinney if not, like, the ultimate culture guy, right?
I mean, at this point, like, I am a believer that Dabo is what he says he is because he's been in the spotlight so long.
And there's no dirty laundry out
there. Correct. It's like, you know, Mark Richt. I always, in the end, Mark Richt, like the fact that he's literally like been in the public eye for so long and it never, like there was never a whiff of anything. It's like, all right, he probably is who he says he is.
Yeah, and that's something they're interested in right now because of everything they've been through.
That's fascinating. All right, let's hand out some Christmas presents. This was Cobb's idea. We're going to hand out Christmas presents to sports figures, what we think they need. We'll do it next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
ESPN. All right, Cobb, you said this is an activity that y'all do over at CBS Sports. Explain the concept of giving out Christmas gifts for sports figures that y'all have been doing. Explain the conceit.
Yeah, so for this year, every year at CBS Sports, we do this thing almost every week in college basketball called the Dribble Handoff. And it's basically like a group assignment where we each answer a question. And so for Christmas week, we always do, what Christmas gift would you give to a team in college basketball? So, for example, I'm going to give Kentucky a point guard with a healthy shoulder because they've now had two straight years of point guards with bad shoulders. And so then we all pick one that we do. And it's like, this is the one thing that would fix this team if only they had it. So we give it to them for Christmas and talk about how this is the one thing this team might be missing to achieve what they want to achieve. And so I think it translates to other sports too. And so, yeah, I'd like to give out some Christmas gifts.
All right. So I'll let you go first. What's the first gift you want to give out and to whom?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I'm going local. I mean, it's easy. I am giving Ja Morant a pair of ankle braces and some high tops.
Okay. I think based on our conversation, I'm giving Penny Hardaway a general manager.
Oh, that's good.
Can we give the Grizzlies just a month of turn the injuries off?
Yeah, like a video game switch.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. Another Memphis-centric one that I would like to give. Really, this is for all of us. This is for the city. This is for the teams. This is for the fans, the
a
media.
A new lease?
Along those lines, an anonymous donor is going to get the Grizzlies or the city of Memphis a $1 billion check for sports stadiums. So, forum renovated, put the gold-plated touches on Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, AutoZone Park been neglected, and then with whatever's left over, they can bring back a soccer team. There we go.
I don't know if that covers it all.
Well, surely the forum, surely a bill would cover it, no? And it's an anonymous donor, all right? So this is a...
I know this. Like, when it's all said and done... I think they have roughly $650 million for the forum.
How much do they need for AutoZone Park? Surely that's like a $50 million, right? That's not like an eight-figure, is it?
AutoZone Park, the bones are there.
Yeah.
AutoZone Park is more cosmetic. Like, you need new seats. You need, like, touch-ups. I think 25 would get that done. The problem is the cost of building all this stuff is just insane now. And the problem with the forum is there's too many seats up top. And so you've run into the issue where solving the biggest problem, you're just better off getting a new arena.
No.
Like, that's what Oklahoma City's doing.
Yeah, they just want a title, though. I mean, they can probably, you know, they can afford to do that. Oklahoma City, they got oil money in Oklahoma City. What is Memphis has FedEx.
You know, we looked it up though, in terms of GDP, there's still more money here. You wouldn't think it. I think they've done better with public spending. I think that's fair to say.
Frankly, Jeffrey, I'm insulted that I gave the city of Memphis an anonymous $1 billion donation and you said it wasn't enough.
No, I'm out at the point where I don't think people understand how expensive this stuff has gotten.
Yeah, and kicking the can down the road hasn't helped. I mean, every year.
No, it has not.
Balloon. Yeah.
But like, there's also this question. Like, I was talking about this with Justin Moore this morning. Are we just at the point? Because what? The artist formerly known as Adelphia Coliseum, now Nissan Stadium. I believe it opens in 99. Because right, they played here. I think they played here in 97, Vandy at 98, and then they opened in 99. I think that's right. Are we now just at the point where these stadiums, like, they just last 25 years?
That's insane. We gotta snap out of this. It's crazy, man. I drove past that stadium a couple weeks ago on my way into the Kentucky-Gonzaga game, and It's ridiculous. You have a beautiful riverfront stadium right there. And
it always blows me away because I covered the last year of the Georgia Dome. I covered two games there. And, you know, the whole, like, when you go in there, everyone that, like, covers the NFL is like, this stadium's a dump. And I'm sitting there going, like, man, you want to see some dumps? Like, go do the SEC tour. Like, there are plenty of dumps that you cover, like, there. I just wonder if, like, we've just jumped the shark in terms of, like, what is considered, like, the elite facilities. Like, I also understand Nashville wants to be a part of the Super Bowl rotation, the Final Four, whatnot, so you got to have a dome. But it's like, are all these stadiums that we say are, like, done, like, the one that makes the most sense to me, it's like, I can see where Buffalo needs a new stadium. The thing opened in, I think, the 60s. It's like, okay, I can see that one.
But at some point, like, the old stadium becomes charming and historic.
Well, like, that's the other thing is like the, we're going to have those. Our stadiums are going to have zero history.
Yeah, right. Like you think they want to bulldoze Lambeau Field? Absolutely. Well, it's like the heck not.
Most of the mystique of Madison Square Garden is it's just the same arena.
It's old. I mean, Staples Center, whatever they call it now, it's old. Like, that's why we like it. Like, you're never going to have a state. Like, if you don't let a stadium get old, it's never going to have any character. It's like a bottle of wine. Okay.
Well, to your point, it doesn't mean neglect it. Update it. Like, make it, you know, like people that own old houses, like they renovate them.
Okay. All right. So you talk me into it. I'm going to amend my Christmas gift to the Grizzlies, not just a $1 billion anonymous donation. My new Christmas gift for the Grizzlies is a $5 billion donation.
Okay, now we're good.
If there's anything left over, it can be used to solve socioeconomic inequality.
Because then I also wonder this. Can Memphis move leagues without having their own stadiums?
Well, isn't the football stadium theirs now?
It is, but the arena is never going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so what happens is the league does the schedule, right? So they would whatever conference you move to would then have to work with the NBA in some capacity, right?
Like this, I don't know how those I know sort of- I know the Yum Center and what do we call it? It used to be Papa John's. What is the stadium now? Didn't they take
like
the name off?
Industries or something or yeah.
They're not on campus, right?
Correct. They are not, but they also don't have professional franchises that play there.
I think they control both buildings, correct?
As far as I know, yeah.
Like, who doesn't have, like, who's in the big leagues that doesn't control their facilities?
Does Ohio State share a basketball arena with the Columbus Blue Jackets?
No, the Blue Jackets have their own arena, like, in actual downtown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not probably not a long list. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so part of that $5 billion, then
that's
we
what I'm saying. No, $5 billion, I can work with this.
Well, we gotta right size. If we got $5 billion to play with in this theoretical Christmas present, you know, I don't want to. What was the thing in like the 1920s when there was like a radio broadcast and like people didn't know it was fake? But no, this is a fake $5 billion donation. If you build an on campus arena for Memphis basketball, for crying out loud, make it the right size. I think that's one of the masterful things that like Auburn has done, some of these other schools have done. Instead of having these 15,000 seat cathedrals, like make it to where it's like intimate and rowdy and you know more of a crowds on top of you sort of vibe, right? Because even at Calipari's heyday, like you weren't filling the forum up every single night. Like that's just not an unreal or a realistic expectation when you also have the Grizzlies. And so, man, yeah. All right. Yeah. Give them a,
Baylor's what? 8,000, 8,500.
Yeah, about right. I think that's about right for Memphis.
I think they would. I think they'd right size it.
Yeah.
We've already
yeah.
seen like, you know, they've shut off upper deck seating.
Yeah. If you had your dream scenario, you could do that. And then you don't have to worry about scheduling conflicts. And
like we have some people writing in about the Big East teams, like so Villanova goes and plays at Comcast, but they have their own like 6,000 seat arena. It's just like when they play big games, they use the bigger arena.
Yeah. Georgetown, do they play at Capital One mostly?
They also have their own like Carnesecca for St. John's,
right?
Although I think St. John's now is just playing most of the schedule at the Garden because of ticket, like they're selling tickets.
Correct. Yeah, if you can do it, you might as well.
All right, let's take one final break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Well, we're getting new angles of the fan that got into the altercation with DK Metcalf. The reports are, have you seen what he said that caused the issue?
Uh-uh.
DK does not like being called DeKalen.
Oh, no.
And we now have video of, as soon as the fan got hit, there is now video of him saying, I want to get the exact quote. That was the goal, folks.
Oh, gosh. All right. So you're standing by it, you know?
I mean, I guess, listen, it was do or die for the Lions. Like, that is a guy that leaves it all out on the field for his team.
Honestly, like, that's impressive because if he didn't say anything, like, derogatory or offensive, and this is the outcome, then, like, I guess well done.
Also, if you're DK, what are you doing, like, what are you doing even, like, acknowledging the guy?
I feel like athletes have gotten way too into clapping back at fans in the last, like, 5 years.
I agree. I don't know. Like, I the NBA thing has at least always, because, you know, like, they're closer.
Very close, yeah.
But also, it's like, I just don't understand, like, you know, just tune it out. It's like the Westbrook thing. Like, if you're still a grown man and, like, this is bothering you, like, this is a you problem, not an us problem.
Agreed.
All right, my man. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Safe travels as you go visit family.
All right, man. Merry Christmas.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for David, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.